Welcome to worship this day. We're glad that you're here with us as we look to praise God and ask God to direct our will and change it to God's will in the world. We are excited this morning that we celebrate Holy Baptism this morning for Brantley Bunton. So we've got his family here, and we're thrilled for that. We're going to do that at the beginning of the service this morning. So that'll be coming up soon, and I'll help guide you through that. But after the prelude, that'll be on page 227. Also today, immediately following worship, we're going to have our congregational meeting that we have twice a year to deal with our proposed budget for 2019, and to also look at electing council members for 2019. If you are not somebody for whom that is a concern because you're visiting with us today, you are welcome at that point to scoot out, and we won't think anything bad of that. Some of us would like to scoot out, but it is our duty to be here, right? Congregational meetings. No, it won't be painful. This will be very brief today, I think, in that congregational meeting. I neglected to get in the bulletin, I was just reminded, that 2 weeks from today is Advent. Can you believe that we are already 2 weeks from Advent today? And what we have been doing the last several years is the first Sunday of Advent, gathering in the evening at 6 o'clock for a light meal, and then making Advent wreaths together. And we're going to do that again 2 weeks from today, even though I didn't get it in the bulletin. I apologize for that. But that's the 2nd of December. At 6 o'clock we'll eat, and then soon after make Advent wreaths. And that's open to anybody. I think it's a great thing for families to do together to mark the time as we look for the Lord's coming, moving towards Christmas. I think it's a wonderful thing for adults to do, paired with a devotional, lighting a candle, watching and waiting is a tremendous act of faith. So commend that to you. You may have Advent wreaths at your house, but if you want to use our supplies, come on with us, and we'll make the mess outside instead of in your kitchen. If you have the metal frames for those Advent wreaths from previous years, invite you to bring those with you. We'll have some more too. And then also just set this morning, November 28th at 6 p.m., which is next Wednesday, the handbells are going to rehearse for some of the upcoming Advent and Christmas handbell things. So if you're somebody who would like to play in those handbells, speak with Judy. Does that sound right, Judy? Other announcements this morning, other than the list as long as my arm and the bulletin that I'll commend to you. I believe we've got at least one prayer shawl this morning.
And I have one reminder. Agape Friends will meet tomorrow evening over at the office complex. We will be packing our shut-in bags, so don't forget to bring those goodies. And we will also be going Christmas caroling on December the 16th. I think that's a Sunday at around 2 o'clock, so anyone's invited to come. We will Christmas carol to our shut-ins. Today, this prayer shawl is for Lydia Rose, that is Latifah's sister-in-law, and I understand she has cancer, so lung cancer, so she needs our prayers.
As we think about folks we're praying for, just heard this morning also that Joanne Turner is having some sort of back surgery this evening, and that's all I know, but if she's having it on a Sunday evening, it must be something that they need to do right now, so we'll keep Joanne in our prayers as we go forward. We wish happy birthday this week to Andy, Donna, Robin, Lita, Sheila, Anthony, Jacob, and Wilson. And happy anniversary to Steve and Glenna and David and Jane. Are there other folks we should add to that list this morning? Let's pray for them. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Continue with our prelude. Brantley, if you and your family would come up here, buddy, we're going to begin this morning with a baptism. We're on page 227 in the front of your book. And as you all are headed this way, I'm going to go get my oil back here. Okay, you know the drill, you remember this. Okay, well, you check that water out and we're going to talk a little bit, okay? In baptism, our gracious Heavenly Father frees us from sin and death by joining us to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are born children of a fallen humanity, but by water and the Holy Spirit we are reborn children of God and made members of the church, the living body of Christ. Living with Christ and in the communion of saints, we grow in faith, love, and obedience to the will of God.
We present Brantley Jett Button.
Called by the Holy Spirit, trusting in the grace and love of God, I'll ask his parents, do you desire to have Brantley baptized?
We do.
As you bring Brantley to receive the gift of baptism, you're entrusted with responsibilities to live with him among God's faithful people, to bring him to the Word of God and the Holy Supper, to teach him the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments, to place in his hands the Holy Scriptures, to nurture him in faith and prayer so that he may learn to trust God, proclaim Christ through word and deed, care for others and the world God made, and work for justice and peace. Do you promise to help Brantley grow in the Christian faith and life? Sponsors, I'll ask you, do you promise to nurture Brantley in the Christian faith as you are empowered by God's Spirit and to help him live in the covenant and communion of his baptism with the church? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
People of God, do you promise to support Brantley and pray for him and his new life in Christ? I ask you, sponsors and parents, then first, to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church. And if I may, sir, I'm going to move this book right over here. And we're right here at the top. Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce the powers of this world which rebel against God? Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God?
I renounce them.
So then I ask you all, along with everyone gathered here, do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. The Lord be with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. Brantley, Kara is going to pour some more water in there, okay? You can watch her. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the water, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family, and through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river, your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By the baptism of Jesus' death and resurrection, you set us free from the power of sin and death and raise us up to live in you. Pour out your Holy Spirit, the power of your living word, that those who are washed in the waters of baptism may be given new life. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Okay, Brantley. Brantley, Jet, Bunton, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Here you go, buddy. Would you like to towel off a little? I'm going to hand this to your mama, and whatever seems right is okay. Brantley, you belong to Christ in whom you have been baptized. Alleluia. We pray. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit you gave your daughters and sons new birth, cleansed them from sin, and raised them to eternal life. Sustain Brantley with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence both now and forevermore. Amen. Okay. Brantley, Kara's going to get a candle over here for you. Do you know about candles?
Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
Brantley, I'm going to let you smell this if you want to. Can you smell that? Brantley, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. And sometimes we go kicking and screaming, and that's okay. It's a hard thing to die to sin and death. We're on the bottom of page 231, if you'll join in with us. Let us welcome the newly baptized. We welcome you into the body of Christ and into the mission we share. Join us in giving thanks and praise to God and bearing God's creative and redeeming word to all the world. Brantley, I wonder, we didn't talk about this, but if Nathan comes with us, Brantley, would you walk down this aisle with us? Nathan, would you do that with us? Or if Mom wants to come too, that's okay. What if we walk down here? Because they would like to see you. Is that all right? Yeah, we can see you fast. Yeah. Now, we'll turn around, Nathan, and come back this way, and maybe, Brantley, we can come back up here with your mom and dad. Brantley, we're excited because you are the newest member that we know of the body of Christ. Let's welcome him with that sign of our excitement and gratitude. He's clapping too. You all are welcome to return to your seats, or wherever Brantley needs to be right now to recover, and that's all right. And we'll continue with our opening hymn, which is number 438 in the back of your book.
My Lord, what a morning, my Lord, what a morning, oh my Lord.
If you'll flip to the front of your book, we're on page 147 in the small number pages at the front. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you praise, we praise you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your sovereign purpose brings salvation to birth. Give us faith to be steadfast amid the tumults of this world, trusting that your kingdom comes and your will is done through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Congregation may be seated. If the children will join me up here for the children's message. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Okay, I want to talk about what happened this morning at the very beginning of the service. We did something we don't do every week. What do you guys know what it was? What was it, everybody?
Baptism.
We did a baptism. Yeah. What in the world is happening in a baptism? What happens? They're becoming a member of the church. That's one of the things, yeah. But we think even more importantly than that, you're absolutely right about that, by the way. But even more importantly than that, God is claiming the person baptized and saying, you are my precious child. No matter what happens, nothing in this world or beyond this world can change the fact that I love you and you are mine. That's what we think baptism is about. Now, I have a question for you. You guys, I think, yeah, I'm looking at you all with the exception of this little one up here who we're going to baptize in December. You guys have all been baptized, right? Were you guys, when you were baptized, were you pretty big like you are now or were you pretty little?
Pretty little.
Yeah, a lot of you were babies, right? And some of you were a lot younger than you are now. Did you understand all the things that were happening at your baptism, you think? No, you didn't understand, right? Do you think Brantley understood everything that was happening today?
No.
I don't think he did either. But here's the thing. That's okay because we said we are going to help teach him, and that's one of the things you guys even promised to do. We're going to help teach him about those things as he gets older. I am, let's see, what year is it? I am 32, is that right? Yeah, okay, I'm 32 years old. I had to think about it. Once you start getting really old, you can't always remember. I'm 32 years old already. I don't know that I understand everything that God is doing in the world, and not everything God is doing in baptism, but I have some pretty good ideas. So what we want to do is, as Brantley gets older and as you guys get older too, we're going to help teach each other about what God is doing in baptism. You guys want to come check this water out a little bit? Okay, come with me. Now, you guys have, we've had this conversation before, so some of you know about this. Maybe the smallest ones, maybe Marcus, you want to come stand on this step so you can see? No, okay, that's all right. You guys want to touch this water? You can touch it if you want. Now, let me ask you this. Is this special water? No, this is just water. What's special is God's word goes with it, and God's word with this water is what makes the baptism happen. The other thing that's really cool is, did you guys know, who baptized Brantley a minute ago? Ooh, trick question. I poured the water on his head, but God was the one that was doing the baptizing. That's right. Yeah, God was the one who said, Brantley, you are mine, and I love you, and nothing is ever going to change that. Brantley was up here splashing away in the water, which is cool because that is just another way to remind us. We can touch this water. We can put this water on our head. Anytime you guys get water on your head, when do you get water on your head usually during the day?
In the pool.
In the pool? When else?
When someone splashes.
If you get splashed. What about like...
In the lake.
In the rain.
In the rain. There was lots of rain. Washing your hair. All of those are things that we do all the time where we get water on our head, and we can use those to remind us that we are baptized and God loves us. So what I want you guys to do is put your finger in this water. All right, get it a little bit wet. Marcus, you want to get your finger a little bit wet in this water? No, all right, I'll do it for you in a little while. So then I want you to pull it out in a minute, and we're going to put your finger on your head and make the sign of a cross with that water. You think you can do that? Okay, I'll help you, Conrad. And here's what we're going to say. As you make the sign of the cross, we're going to say, God loves me. Okay? You ready? Let's do it. God loves me. You did it, Conrad. That was great. God loves you, Marcus. God loves you. Yeah, gotcha. Okay. So anytime you guys get your head wet, you can do that at your house. You can say, God loves me, and you can remember that you are claimed by God and that nothing in this world can change that. God will always love you. Can you do that? Pray with me. Lord God, thank you for loving us. And in baptism, making us yours. Help us to remember. Amen. Wonderful. Now, if you guys are going to Children's Church, you can line up at that door, or you're welcome to stay with us too and have church with us.
The first reading for today comes from the 12th chapter of Daniel. At that time, Michael, the great prince, the protector of your people, shall arise. There shall be a time of anguish, such as never occurred since nations first came into existence. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Here ends the reading, the word of the Lord. The psalm for today is Psalm 16 and will be read responsively. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge.
I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you.
As for the holy ones in the land, they are the noble, in whom all is my delight.
Those who choose to let God
The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me.
I keep the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved.
Therefore, my heart is glad, and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The second reading for today comes from Hebrews chapter 10. Every priest stands day after day at his service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since then has been waiting until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. So do we have any HGTV addicts in the house today? I know there's some of you. Okay, yeah. Whether or not you're going to admit it, I know that you are out there. For those of you who may not be familiar, HGTV has about four or five like massively popular shows that are all basically the exact same thing. In all of these shows, they take an average house and they renovate it and turn it into something everybody drools over. It's like the American dream on steroids for your home or something. And even though this channel and these shows are by far the most frequent thing on at my house, I'm not always sure how I feel about it because, like all advertising, these shows basically make me look at what I have and be less content with it than I was before, right? That's what the object of advertising is. Because if it's not an open concept, subway-tiled kitchen with a farmhouse sink in the island, it just leaves something to be desired. At least, according to the logic of these renovation shows, anyway. But despite the fact that it makes what we have seem shoddier than it did before we started watching, we keep watching these shows at my house. We keep getting sucked into them. And I think what draws us in are the extremes of the transformation, right? We want to see what happens with these houses that are nothing, right? Nothing to write home about. When they take them all the way down to the studs and basically start from scratch, they turn these houses that were average into immaculate, beautiful spaces that are barely recognizable from what they used to be. And I think it's the big reveal that draws us in, right? We don't want to miss it. We keep our eyeballs glued to the screen because we want to see that moment of total transformation revealed. Which is actually, by the way, what the Gospels are about. Total transformation is what the gospel message is. In the Gospel of Mark that we read from today, the very beginning of the gospel, Jesus shows up on the scene and says, "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Which is to say, the world as you know it is about to be transformed. Start transforming your own life too. And then throughout the Gospel of Mark, we build toward this transformation through the ministry of Jesus. And then when we get here to where we read from today in the 13th chapter of Mark, what we're talking about is Demo Day. Now, you all who know my renovation shows know what I'm talking about, right? Demo Day is the day when they come in and gut the house. They rip the cabinets off the walls and smash them on the floor. They take the sledgehammer out and break up all the countertops and beat out all the tile floors. And they start to literally pull the walls down everywhere they can. And to me, that always looks like pure chaos and destruction. The thing is, there's a purpose to it all, right? Because for something new to be born, something old has to die. To build something new, sometimes you have to level everything that was there before. And this is where we are in the 13th chapter of Mark. The disciples are getting just a little too pleased with the temple in all of its glory, going, "Wow, what large stones and what large buildings." So Jesus gives them this little corrective speech that makes up all of the 13th chapter of Mark. "Look," Jesus says, "the temple is not going to be here forever." If Jesus were talking to us today, he might be saying, "Look, Holly Grove Lutheran Church is wonderful, but it's not going to be here forever. This building is not the stuff you can depend on. In fact, it's all going to come down. Not a stone will be left on stone. And beyond that, wars, rumors of wars, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, earthquake and famine. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs," Jesus says. The key distinction for us is that it is not about the destruction. That's not the point. What's happening is that as the kingdom of God draws near, the kingdoms and the powers of this world begin to get agitated. They like things the way they are, and so as the kingdom approaches, the powers of this world begin to lash out. They don't want to see the system that gives them power thrown down. But it will be thrown down. The old must be brought down to make room for the new thing that is coming. Our old sinful selves must be torn down to make room for the new thing that God is doing. It's demo day. Except that in this case, what's coming is not subway tile and a huge kitchen island. It's the Son of Man, right? Coming in glory in the clouds with great power. It's death swallowed up, the shroud that had been cast over all peoples swallowed up and destroyed. What's coming is the tree of life, whose leaves are for the healing of the nations. No more darkness, no more need for lamp, for the Lord God will be their light. And the Lord will wipe away the tears that are on all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth. That's what's coming, the kingdom of God, baptized into the death and resurrection of Christ Jesus. That's the future that we are already part of. That's the future that God promised as God claimed Brantley this day in the waters of baptism. And when we gather in this place to share in Christ's supper here at this table, we get a foretaste of that future for all people. My sense right now, my read on the mood, is that there is this weight of weariness hanging over us. Every week, it seems like it's another degradation of decency in the political discourse. Every week, it's another mass shooting. If it's not a hurricane, it's a deadly wildfire or some other tragedy. We are weary. So I get it if in the midst of that weariness, hearing Jesus talk about wars and violence and earthquakes doesn't exactly sound like good news. But the good news that we are called to proclaim, as Frederick Buechner puts it, is that the resurrection means that the worst thing is not the last thing. In his dying and rising, Jesus has destroyed the final power of death. And so right now, God is at work to usher in the fullness of the kingdom that Jesus brings, which means that this cycle that we seem to be trapped in of death and destruction and the weariness that comes with it, this will not be the last thing. The old ways are torn down, yes, but not for the sake of destruction itself, but to make way for the life of the kingdom. It's demo day. And as far as I can tell, there is no resurrection that doesn't first involve death first, right? But the deal is, God is the one whose whole thing it is to bring life out of death, to redeem tragedy, to look around and say, hey, while this place is down to the studs already, let's make some big changes. Let's bring some transformation out of this brokenness. Let's turn this ugliness into something beautiful. That's who God is. And if you thought that the Property Brothers could make some dramatic alterations, if you think Chip and Joanna Gaines can do a big reveal, wait until you see what God has in store. The kingdom of God has come near. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Sing your song.
having as part of our baptismal liturgy this morning confessed our faith already. With the people of God gathered here and throughout the world, we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all people in need. Gracious God, you made the church through the working of the Holy Spirit, and you provide the assurance of faith through your Son. Guide us in our proclamation of the gospel. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious Lord, you created all things, and you called your creation good. Protect, Lord, all that you have made from harm. Cause all living things to thrive, and raise up stewards for the well-being of creation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, you desire peace for the whole world. Provide refuge for those in harm's way. Bring an end to war, and instill in political leaders the love for all that comes for you. We pray especially for our governor, Roy, and our president, Donald. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, you reveal your compassion through caregivers, advocates, and medical professionals. Heal the sick, deliver the suffering, bind up the brokenhearted, provide shelter for the homeless and food for the hungry. We pray especially for Burnett, Jane, the family of Marshall, Bobby, Harold, the family of Betty, Lydia, John, Jean, Lydia, Dwight, Sheila, Gary, Barbara, Sue, Bill, Joanne, all those impacted by wildfires, and those we name now. Those named aloud, Lord, and those listed on our prayer list, we ask you to shelter and keep watch over. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You bless us, Lord, in our coming and our going, in our waking and our sleeping, and in our daily work. Make our love and good deeds a reflection of the freedom you give us in Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, you grant us everlasting life through the waters of baptism and at this table. Through the witness of your saints who now rest in the Lord, inspire us in our lives of faithful service. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Hear our prayers, Lord, spoken and silent, that we commend to you this day, trusting in your abundant mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of Christ's peace with one another.
Let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Continue on page 152.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You may be seated. This is Christ's table, and so all those seeking the true presence of Christ are welcome here. We will commune in the center. You'll receive the bread from me and then step to either side to receive either wine, which will be what looks red in the little cups, or juice, which is what looks clear or a little bit yellow in the cups if you prefer juice.
Mercy on us, and
Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever. Amen. Invite you to join with us in saying our mission statement, which is on page 5 of your bulletin, if you've got it handy. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.